Good evening, Basil.
I've seen a lot of sights and traveled many miles, shook a thousand hands and seen my share of smiles. I've caused some great concern and told one too many lies, and now I see the world through these battle-dated eyes. So what if I threw a party and all my friends are there? Acquaintances, relatives, the girls who never care. You'll have a host around these hooligans in a big light.
Oh my God. God, good evening. Is that you, Kate, who actually just brought in?
Yes, it is, sir.
Thanking Christ, I've just had a fight with your studio once again. It wouldn't recognise that because I use a USB microphone. It wouldn't recognise that I had a microphone set up, so I was like, okay, stop being a piece of shit and work, please. So, yeah. Sorry for the delay, guys. MC Paranormal, hey there. Stephen Eldridge, hey there. And MC Paranormal, the reason you couldn't hear anything is because I fucked up. Sorry. Rant over. Jesus.
At least I'm not the. At least this time I'm not the fuck up of the week. So.
Oh, dude, I'm always the fuck up of the week. Don't you worry.
No, I feel so much better now.
Enjoy it. You just got yourself comfy. Jesus. But yeah. Oh, nevertheless. Hello there. How are you doing?
Doing great, man. How about yourself?
Well, now I'm doing good. I can actually get this shit working. Yeah, I'm doing really good at the moment. I've had what could only be described as actually a good week. So, yeah, I'm quite pleased with myself. Really good topic this week as well. We touched really lucky on the topic this week. But I don't know. Did you notice the weird correlation with the topic this week?
Yeah, that. Remember we were discussing that in We were both like, wow, that's kind of strange. It kind of happened upon that. We didn't even hear about it when we brought it up. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely odd.
It wasn't even maybe or maybe not that I might or might not have picked this topic if we went for this topic for a reason. I did not pick this topic for any other reason other than I read something on Fit a few weeks ago, written it down, and I decided to look back at it and thought, oh, that makes sense. Well, let's have a look at that. Well, obviously, I just blew the show to shit. Like, but you know what I mean. You look at something, you don't think about it, and then all of a sudden, surprise, kicks in. Jesus.
Yeah, surprise, you think about it big time, actually.
Yeah. Jesus, it didn't half. It fell well. That's the best way we can look at it. It fell absolutely perfectly well. So, nevertheless, how's your week been anyway? What have you been up to?
My last week was busy, man. I've been doing a lot of work at the Historical Society. We had a big historical seminar and stuff like that, and put a lot of time in there. And then the next day, I was basically dozing off at work. I was so tired. You know, and then somebody come in, I jump straight up, and I was like, I looked like I was on crystal meth. I was like, hey, how you guys doing today? Welcome, you know, and it was just. I was just like, oh, I just want to go home and sleep. That's all I wanted, dude. But it's been going pretty smooth, minus the fact that I'm trying to get outbid on eBay for once. You know, for once when you're on eBay, you tend to get in these bidding wars with people for something.
Yeah.
And it was for the FLIR 1, right? So I was like, fuck it, I'll just do an impulsive bid. You know, my impulsiveness is just horrible. I got impulse problems. And so I actually said, okay, I'll just go above a little bit about what it was. And I was like, fuck it, I'll get sniped early. Somebody will get it, and, you know, they'll bust me out, and, you know, no big deal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I still have it. I'm still in the lead with, like, a day left. And so I'm just, like, hoping it's a last-minute snipe. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I'm just hoping somebody snipes me with, like, an hour left or something like that, because I am not going to bid anymore, dude. I don't even want it now. I just wanted to see. You know, it's just a bad habit. You know, I have these bad habits of doing that. But if I do get it, what I'm going to do is I'm going to test it out, try it out, and then resell it on eBay. So, see how it works.
Those people in the chat room, I received a message this afternoon. Yesterday afternoon on WhatsApp of a certain individual who's on the other line right now called, I'm not going to mention any names, let's just give him a code name, let's like an alias of Kurt, right, who's sitting message, 55 second long message going, you need to buy that. You need, there was CCTV equipment in the place of work, and he's going, you need to buy it. You just need it. Get a credit card. Just buy it on a credit card. It feels so good. Just buy it. And I'm sitting there, I'm listening, and as the message is going along, I'm thinking, this is the same guy who goes out and spends a couple of $100 on a tri-field meter or an ovulus because he wants to see how it works. And I'm going to take purchasing advice off you, you crazy bastard. And that's all I kept going to get. How could they take advice on buying shit off you? Like, yeah, wow.
I'm not the one to take advice on buying shit. But, dude, it was so cool looking when you sent it. I was like, dude, you got to get it. You know, because put it this way, if it was on eBay and you showed it to me, I would have thrown a huge bid on that bitch. But I didn't. So I was trying to talk you into it. But then you kind of you did the job of, listen, dude, I get the broken pieces, fix them, put them together, and then I just have a nice set of CCTV cameras. You know, I work in a place, and I'm like, God damn, that makes too much sense. And then I was like, fuck. But I thought it was funny as hell. I was trying to egg you on so bad to buy that thing.
It's better than that. Do you know the again, for people who didn't know, I was showing Kurt pictures of a big, massive CCTV display we've got in the store, which has just been built literally Sunday. And this big, massive display has got 9 cameras. Every single camera is just touching 1,000 TV lines. To give you an idea of what 1,000 TV lines is, anybody who's got HD watches 1,080 TV lines, or what they call 1080. Okay? Right? These cameras are all 1,000 TV lines. They are machines. They are amazing cameras. They're like the best cameras I've ever came across. Okay? This system, we set it up so that customers can see what it looks like and yada, yada, yada. Now, not, say, 24 hours after we set it up, a gentleman comes in who's one of our well-known thieves who've never been able to catch on camera, goes over to it, walks up to it, looks it squared in the face, all 9 cameras pointing at his face, and he's going, this is really good, this, isn't it? And I'm just thinking to myself, could you be in any better position for me to broadcast your photograph all over the place, you fucking thief? I was over the moon. We've got him on 9 different camera angles. It's perfect. So, yeah, and I was totally non-paranormal, but we couldn't ask for anything better when that happened. It was so funny. But, I'm working where I do and doing the job that I do. I get to see, obviously, what new CCTV is coming around and what new technology is coming around for CCTV. And to be fair, the way CCTV is going, and I'm actually going to drag it more towards the paranormal, it's getting really, really, really good. I mean, to a point where I can't see an issue with a new group setting themselves up for a couple of £100 or a couple of $100 and getting themselves an amazing system for next to nothing. We sell some systems which are maybe £400. Sounds like a lot of money, but you're getting 6 very, what's the word, high-resolution cameras. You're getting 6 of them with a recorder for £400. And, you know, I wish that crap was around when I first started getting my gear. I would have saved myself so much money.
But you think about it, too, the people that do come into your shop, I mean, not only would they set it up for paranormal, more or less, I mean, depending on the neighborhood they live in and, you know, where they live in, I mean, they're like probably spot on perfect for outside, too. I mean, if you had somebody install it, if they're good at it installing it and running the lines, it'd be epic. Because, I mean, you would have, if let's say somebody did try to break it, I mean, you could just hone in on that face, like, real quick.
Oh, yeah. Well, I noticed a feature that shows up on Taps and Ghost Hunters. Every once in a while, I'll be looking at a camera and you'll see a box appear. It recognizes something and the box circles it. And it was only when I realized the cameras that they're using, they have a feature called Face Detect. Try and find the system with Face Detect. It's so hard to find something which has it built in. Right? And all of a sudden, it's becoming a bit of a standard now. I've seen it in about 3 or 4 different systems that are out in the market at the moment. So, I mean, other than the fact that I think it's going to sound horrible, this, right? I think cameras are getting too good to catch anything paranormal. getting to a point now where cameras are becoming just too good. Sounds weird, but, you know, you catch the shadows in the distance.
But what about those... somebody brought up a point with me, actually, and, you know, and I wanted to ask you about it, and it just kind of slipped my mind, that they like to use low light cameras when they go out for some reason. Like, I guess during dusk, like it's becoming dusk right now. If it's a little darker and without the flash, just using low light cameras, what does it do? Keep the open a little longer? What's your take on that?
I do it for photography. I do a lot of photography with long exposure where you keep the shutter open for longer. But as for when it's in the middle of a paranormal investigation trying to do that, I don't think it's a good idea. I really wouldn't put it as good because you need a burst of light to get a reflection or to get something back. If you understand what I mean, if there's no light there and nothing to base the image upon, and you're only basing the image on a shadow in the distance, then that's not really anything you could classify as anyway as any good evidence. I think all you could class it as is a black dot in a black distance. So I think you kind of need light behind the image to be able to pull contrast, to be able to pull up what it should be in the background. So I wouldn't suggest it. I don't know, that's just my own opinion, but I don't think I could suggest it. But yeah, I mean, each to their own. I'm starting to realise as of late that just because I do something a certain way, or maybe you do something a certain way, I don't think it's necessarily wrong, because we're all doing exactly the same thing, throwing pennies into a river and you're trying to work out where they go. We just do the best with what we do. So, personally, give it a go. If you pull evidence with it, then it works. If you don't, then you lost nothing other than time. Unless you're really old and you can't afford to be hooking up with time.
I mean, but some of these cameras out there now are just like, you know, you're talking about the EOS Rebel and stuff like that. I mean, that's, talking kind of like a $500 high-end camera right there. I mean,
versus, let's say,
$200 Sony, whatever. You know, I mean,
the killer part is $500 camera when you're messing around with EOS, when you're around with the Rebel range and all that. $500 is entry level. I've seen, and I've actually got a friend who's got one that cost him £1,200 there or thereabouts, which is about just under $2,000. And it's like he uses it; he's took about 480 shots on it. But because he's one of the people who went to university to learn photography, and he's really meticulous in what he does, he will use it.
Okay.
But it's fullest, but he'll only take a few shots at a time. He doesn't go out of his way to go mad in photography, which is a bit, in my eyes, redundant. I think you should, if you've got a decent camera, even if you're not into the paranormal, you have a good camera, go out, go nuts, take loads of photographs. What the hell do you stand to lose? If you take an investigation.
You can take photographs everywhere and just lighten them up depending on the setting you want to put it at and everything else. I mean, have some really kick-ass photographs going on.
I always do whenever I go anywhere. If I take a camera with me, I will go ballistic. I'll take photographs every chance I get, and that's all I ever do when I go out anywhere, whether it's paranormal or not. I'll always take photographs because every little one is a little shot of memory, and even when we go out somewhere, if we go out on an investigation, I'll take photographs of the building as opposed to going in, just doing the investigation and go home. I'll take photographs of the building whilst I'm there to see what it's like, to take some photographs to show my wife when I get home. It's just more for personal, I like what old buildings look like, you get me? But go on, Teddy.
No, go ahead.
I'll say some people will go, do an investigation, walk away, go home, and, you know, I don't know if it's just me, but I've met a few people in the paranormal community who have got a bit of a bit of a background in history. You, for instance, me, a couple of my team members love history. It's sort of, they go hand in hand, if you understand what I mean. You go to a place, you take loads of photographs. I know I'm going on a wild tangent, but for the love of God, the way cameras are going nowadays, they're getting better and better and better. You stand to lose nothing by just taking more photographs than you need. That's pretty much where I want to put that, because otherwise it'd be like a 3-hour rant about me and cameras. Fucking hell, imagine it.
No, but you're telling the truth. I was in a graveyard was it 2 weeks ago, cemetery, and I think I sent you a couple pics. We were looking at a mausoleum.
Yeah.
Okay, we could get the shot in the mausoleum, but the backside was stained glass, and that was the shot we were trying to get. Looking in the front, getting a back shot of the stained glass, but the only thing that pissed me off is there was metal bars blocking the whole thing around it. So it just made it look like total shit, where it would have been a kick-ass picture aside of that. Minus the fact, you know, you got the graves, you got the people on both sides of you, but you're trying to get that straight shot of the stained glass window. And, so pissed off, because that would have been, like, the perfect picture.
Picture shots, and I'll fuck it up. Guaranteed, I'll fuck it up. Oh, I've got a bit of news for people. People in the paranormal, anybody who likes a little bit of technology behind what they actually do, people who want to point and click with a camera, saying to you guys, Sony, about 2 years ago, they totally discontinued the night shot range. So when you get a camera now, Sony night shot is not a feature in it no more. They discontinued the feature. The reason for it, they were sacrificing quality for low light conditions, so they were a bit pissed off. They went, screw it, we don't need it, we'll delete it, or we'll remove it. So because of that, people, especially in the paranormal community, people as a whole, we lost the feature. We had to then go onto eBay and look at some of the older cameras, which have got Sony night shot, and then all of a sudden, Sony night shot cameras on eBay became more expensive. So where you'd go out and buy a normal standard Panasonic standard definition camera, and you could probably pick it up for a couple of dollars or a couple of pounds in the UK, night shot cameras, because they had a certain feature that they no longer used and people realized it had value and held use, they upped the price of them. So where it would normally cost a couple of quid, it went right through the bleeding roof.
I have one. I picked one up off of eBay.
Right. Guess what just came back?
Sony Night Shot?
Night Shot's back on the cameras, yeah. Guess what just came back in 4K? I don't know as of yet. It got announced they've got a Sony 4K camera with Night Shot built into it. Yeah.
Shit, because I picked it up when it went off the market. I was told by somebody in Mississippi, in a group out of Mississippi, they're like, man... I go, where'd you get your Sony night shot? Well, camcorder. He goes, I picked up on eBay, man. They stopped making them. I'm like, oh, shit. So, you know, I got on there. That's I got in the bidding war on and actually won it. So, I mean, that's like my prize little one right there that I use, because I use a stick with it. I don't use it. I can also use a disc with it, but I chose just to use it. You know, the disc is, what, 30 minutes long. I just use the stick with it and dude, and I put it, you know, I stick aside one of a few infrared things next to it, man, and that thing just lights up.
Dude, I was dead surprised when I found out they were throwing them back on the cameras, but I thought, you know, as news go, I can't believe I only found out literally, I think it was early this morning, and I thought, shit, I should have put this in news, it's a little bit late, I'll just drag it up while I'm on the show. But for 4K, getting 4K, which obviously there's no there's only hardly any TVs on the market at the moment which can properly show 4K. It's that good a quality image. To render a 4K image, you'll probably take your computer and beat it up and leave it dead in the street. It's very, very high resolution. And now they've got it in night shot. So the way I look at it, right, is Ghost Adventures have replaced all their old cameras that they were using for a range of cameras called Canon C Range. No, they've replaced it. They don't use the Sony X cams no more. They use they're using Canon C100s, and they are literally like documentary cameras. They're really good but very complicated to use. And I think they only went for them because you can buy lenses and you can convert them through the night vision. But fuck you, you can get a 4K camera now, which is night vision. So pretty much, they should have hung on a little bit before they went out and spent a small bleeding fortune on the cameras they have bought, because these new Sony night shots, when they come in, they're going to come in with technology behind them now, because I think the way Sony have gone about it is they would have kept their head down for a few months. I'd look at it. They've made it work in 4K. If they've managed to get that working in 4K, it's going to be good. So,
Did you get to see a price on it?
And I haven't. I've literally only just found the model and model number, so I'll have a little check-in while we're on the show in a minute, and I'll see if I can find the price.
So you're talking camcorder, or are you talking regular camera?
I'm talking camcorder, they released it as a camcorder.
Okay, okay, you're talking camcorder, okay.
Yeah, it's, as I said, the Canon camcorder that Ghost Adventures are using, it is literally a dedicated camcorder, but it's an expensive one. They're like $2,000, no problems at all. I don't expect this Sony camera to be really cheap. It's the only thing I'm going to say. I don't expect them to be cheap, but I do expect them to be the right camera to be using. So, fingers crossed, eh? Best way of wearing it, fingers crossed, can't wait. I need one in my life. Get out.
I think those things are going to be going for like $400 American, let alone about $275 British. Would you buy it though?
100%. At that price, I could not see a reason not to.
Is Natalie in the room when you just said that?
Nope, she's in bed. She's in bed.
Don't okay, cool.
Yeah. Because
there's usually a. There's usually a moment of silence where you can hear her say something in the background.
I'll buy it.
But what, you get 25% off anyway, so, dude, you're set.
Yeah. No, do you know what, right? We can actually contact in our company, we can contact head office and say, is it possible for us to be able to source this or that? And they'll go, we'll call the company and see if we can get you one. So I'm going to play that card and see what happens. I know for a fact I'm going to get told, go away, but... Nevertheless,
do they have any Maplin? And do they have any in the United States, or are they tied into any companies in the U.S. or?
No, Maplin the Electronics. We are just UK based as a company. So, I'd say, I think we were as a company planning on moving abroad or moving overseas, but I don't know what happened about that. I think we just watched what happened with Tesco when Tesco moved it over your side and got fucking blown out the water. So I think we may be holding off a little bit. But you've got Radio Shack. Radio Shack as a company.
Radio Shack. Okay, you got Best Buy, which is the shit. You know, Best Buy is always the shit. If you're going to Best Buy, you spend...
We broke Best Buy.
And then you got Radio Shack. So Maplin's up near Best Buy, but Radio Shack, they don't even sell computer parts anymore. I couldn't get screws the other day. I couldn't get screws the other day to put in a hard drive into the CCTV thing. I had to order them online.
I remember.
Yeah, I was
shit,
so
dude,
pissed
I would
off.
Have sent you them over if I could have. I have a fucking box loads of them. I can actually see two of them now in front of me, so... Sorry, I wish. We'll just send you them over.
Oh, it's fucking unbelievable. Oh. Dude, it's fucking unbelievable that, you know, you think Radio Shack would be the place to do it because, you know, if I wanted to get put together, let's say an EMF producer, you know what I'm saying, these EMF boxes?
Yeah.
And I could easily do it, go to Radio Shack. But see, I don't think Radio Shack sells the boxes that you guys carry where I can screw holes in it, where I can connect, say, battery... an outside battery connector. I don't think Radio Shack has that.
I walk around our shop when I should be working, jotting down things I need to get to build the next thing I'm building. Like, for instance, I'm building a REM pod. I was telling Kate I'm going to be building a REM pod. And I'm walking around work, jotting down the components I'm going to need. That's how fucking sad a life I lead. But nevertheless, right, we're cutting really deep into the show here, so what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to do the news. I don't know, you got this, did I send you the news?
I don't have it. I'm kind of in a screwed up situation right now. I'm on a phone, not a cell phone, but let me pull up my iPad
I'll do the news now while you have a little potted around, right?
Well, I try
the
to
news.
Fuck around and
No, not cool. There's
okay,
actually two
let me,
pieces of news.
Hold on, email did you send it to?
I messaged you.
Oh, I messaged
you
me. I forgot about that. Let me get an iMessage real quick.
This isn't in the news, but I'm actually going to put it in the news. The Ghost Arc, which is a piece of equipment me and Kate have been following as of late, an amazing piece of equipment, has just sort of broke the British media. I've just been sitting there before reading through on Facebook, and the Daily Mirror.co.uk, which is a newspaper in Britain, they've done a story on it. So I've sent mad props to them anyway. I've been dead pleased with them. Sent them a Ghost Arc a big congratulatory message because, to be fair, to get into the British market and have actually the British media say this looks like a good piece of equipment is a really big shock to anybody. Considering the way they look at the paranormal, very tongue-in-cheek, they've done a really good job. But nevertheless, I'll move on to the second part of the news, which is actually proper news. Proper news, let's say that very lightly. Randy ghosts prowl Welsh roads to seduce drivers, paranormal author claims. Right, you'll love this one, guys. That's all I'm going to say. Sexy hitchhiking ghosts could be seducing lonely travellers on a busy road near Swansea, a paranormal investigator has claimed. Gareth Davies, who is the author of Ghost Sex, the fuck that name of that book, says he's looking into a series of nightmarish incidents where unsuspecting drivers are lured into sexual situations with good-looking ghouls. One of them involved a local man who told Mr. Davies he was tricked by a figure disguised as a beautiful woman hitchhiking on the A40. He said, I was approached by a man who did not want to be identified because it could expose him to ridicule, who told me he picked up a hitchhiker who turned out to be a ghost that seduced him, Wales Online reports. Now, I'm aware that stuff like this is often intended as erotica and people have fantasies about it. And at first I thought it was a wind-up call, but this man is genuinely believed he was seduced by a paranormal entity. He said that he was driving back from a date that hadn't gone as planned. He saw a beautiful woman on the side of the road and picked her up. According to Wales Online, Mr. Davies said the man known as John then pulled over and took the mysterious woman into a public toilet. He said the ghost then ravished John in terms too graphic to describe. The man then told Mr. Davies that I started to smell something strange and I thought at first it smelled like cigarette smoke. I was choking. I thought I was going to die. I was crying and everything. I was passing out. I just wanted a policeman to start banging on the window to save me. I pushed her back with all my force. There was not a pretty girl on me, but some haggard, disgusting old woman with some kind of awful skin condition. I just screamed and screamed and screamed, and she vanished. Mr. Davis believes he could have been affected by sleep paralysis after nodding off. Sleep paralysis is a condition where victims feel wide awake but is unable to move a muscle. It is often accompanied by delusions of being watched by a menacing presence. In the Renaissance era, it was believed that paralysis was caused by the succubi, who would then in turn seduce people when they were asleep, said Mr. Davies. His book, Ghost Sex, has already sold 3,000 copies online and topped Supernatural charts on the Amazon Kindle store. I find that really hard to believe, to be fair, because 3,000 copies is not... ain't no fucking blockbuster in my eyes. Writing this book, Mr. Davies said that writing this book has took a toll on me. Oh my God. I'm sorry, Kate, but oh my God. I live maybe 30 miles off the Welsh border. We're investigating in Wales in a week or so, 2 weeks, for the web series we're doing. I'm not going near the A40. I am not going near that fucking creepy little road. Oh my God.
Dude, you're going to be dogging in some Welsh parking lot. There's no two ways about it, dude.
Crap. That's all that matters. I'm going to get taken to the Welsh toilet.
Some pikey with no teeth.
Oh, dude, no, I don't. Adam's driving the car. He won't take me into no toilet. Don't worry about it. I just heard you say pikey. Awkward. Oh, hey, But yeah, as it stands, as news goes, that is 10 out of 10 on the cringe factor for me. That is evil. So
that's fucking gross, dude. That's gross.
I know, but on the plus side, at least he got some after his date went horribly wrong.
That's true.
Yeah,
at least he got laid.
Yeah, by a haggard old woman. Nevertheless, by the sounds of it, beggars can't be choosers. Isn't that right, John, whoever John is? Nevertheless, do you want to add anything to that crazy piece of shit? That's where fucking news is going. It's going down the pan quickly.
The dude basically just got laid by an old hag. You got to think about this, though, man. First off, all right, and this is where I'm going to get crude. You know, shocking, huh? But, dude, first
like
off,
you.
How are you going to get the lady wet? All right? If she's like 80 years old. I guess you're going to have to get some sort of lube. So the guy must have lube around or something like that. You know, KY or whatever he might have been. And, you know, but it might have been foul because, dude, you're having sex with, like, an 80-year-old woman. I mean, that's and I'm guessing it's 80 years old. I go, that's pretty fucking gross. I'm sorry, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know if I could get a stiffy on that one.
I'm just trying to work out whether he just regretted what he'd done. Would that be the easier answer? He's just gone, yeah, go ahead, I'll give it a go. Oh, shit, no, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Let's pretend you're a ghost.
I think so, dude. I think both the lady and he are creepy at the same time.
I think he's just trying to cover his fucking ass. That's what it is. He's been caught with a rather shifty situation with a pensioner. And that's what it is. He's just got a bit of balance.
That is getting caught like with a sheep up in Scotland somewhere, you know? It's almost as bad the same way. So, I mean, thinking about that shit.
Marsha's birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday.
Oh, it's Marsha's birthday tomorrow?
Oh, shit. According to the chat room, I've just read that Marsha's doing fine. I'm keeping her busy. It's her birthday tomorrow. Oh, shit. Happy birthday, Marsha. Let's have a happy birthday, Marsha.
Happy birthday, Marsha.
Tribute show today. Let's hope that Ed bought you something really big and expensive. And if not, I've just tricked Ed into buying you something really big and expensive. So, nevertheless, I'll take thank yous through Facebook. Don't you worry. So you're going to have to go out and buy an iPad now or some shit like that, watch. Oh, awkward, Ed. Oh, God. Nevertheless, right, do you want to move on swiftly to our main topic of the night?
Yeah, actually, Mo and I are trying to come on. Each week we come up, you know, with a topic or, you know, let's get this person on or that person on if we can do it, if it's possible. And since there's so many shows out there, I mean, we roll. Sometimes we just say, hey, let's pick some fun topics and just go with it, you know. And we chose to go with the topic of areas that would be very taboo to go investigate. And there's a few places that we kind of came up with. Mo basically came up with them. First, we were talking about Auschwitz, and then what's really strange about it, and this is right before the show, we were texting back and forth, usually right before a show, we're texting back and forth, and they're celebrating the sadness of Auschwitz, they're celebrating something with Auschwitz.
It's the 70-year anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz this week. I went sick when I seen it.
Yeah, and I was just
shocked.
And that's one of the topics we wanted to talk about. Also, we're going to talk about the suicide forest in Japan. And also, Mo came across a really good one. And I'm looking at it right now on my phone, cell phone, about if you guys aren't aware of what happened in China during World War II, what the Japanese did to the Chinese was absolutely as bad as what the Nazis did to the Jews, but you never heard about it in a way that you did in Europe, but it happened also in China too. And there's a book out, it's called, what's the name of the book? And it's a great book. It's called The Rape of Nanking. If you can read this book, The Rape of Nanking, I highly recommend it if you're into some dark, fucked up, crazy shit. The poor girl who wrote it committed suicide, but it is a top thing. And it kind of ties in to one of the topics that Mo sent in. And we were trying to talk, we were coming up with an ideas about where would be great places to investigate, but at the same time would be so taboo, it's almost like, is it worth doing it or not? And you know what I'm talking about? Should I be running around or Mo be running around with a night vision camera, which I'm sure you're not allowed at night in Auschwitz, or you're sneaking in recorders, this and that, and stuff like that. I mean, so basically that's what our focus is tonight is. And a lot, I'm sure there have been people that have done it, but, I mean, to me, it's kind of too taboo in a sense.
Yeah. I came across what was I saying? Total digression anyway. Yeah, with the Auschwitz part, when I was looking through it, I came across a story which is, again, it's a slight little, it's a sideline story, I'll call it, right? And I'm only going to tell you a very quick snippet of it, right? A girl in Auschwitz survived three concentration camps, right? Three separate concentration camps. She survived the walks to the concentration camps, right? And she survived. She's the only known survivor of the gas chambers. She fucking walked out of the gas chamber, didn't know what had happened. No joke. This girl fucking survived. How? I don't know. She's 90 years of age, as of when I read the story. It was published in 2010. And she survived the gas chamber, she survived the death march, and she survived the lot. I was...
Yeah, I've heard of that, but I don't know a whole lot about that.
I've got the news report somewhere on my computer, because I saved it. But it was like... It sounds horrible, please, again. Now, as taboos go, as I said to Kate, you have to be very careful when you do come to investigate, because I think when you... This is my own personal opinion, but when you investigate certain places, it becomes like a statute of limitations between the time it's discussed and to investigate it. It sounds horrible saying discussed, like with a bad breed of people, but like between the times and it's bad ethical to investigate it to when it's okay to investigate, it feels like there's a statute of limitations. I mean, give you an idea. Is it the Vasilica or Vachalis or whatever it is, the Axe Murder House, right? The family were killed the beginning of the turn of the century, last century, right? A kid had an axe put into, well, six kids, sorry, had axes put into their faces. Three of the, four of the family members, two of the neighbours, and they all got killed with an axe. This axe was apparently held in a certain museum after the fact. And it's terrible what happened. It's disgusting what happened. But you can go and investigate the place. Now, have you investigated the Axe Murder House? Kid.
I'm sorry?
Oh, that's okay. Now, have you ever investigated the Axe Murder House, the Vasilica Axe Murder House?
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Me? No, I was going to, but then I figured it's so small. And
yeah,
after a while, I mean, unless I could spend the night there, you know what I'm saying? I can, like, pay up and spend the night. I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, yeah.
But the only thing about it is, what the fuck else am I going to do in Iowa after that? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no.
That kind of got me a little, because I thought about it. I was like, yeah, we could road trip it, you know. I could fly into Missouri and then road trip it to Iowa and, you know, and do that. But, you know, but then again, I thought, I don't know. It would be just like any old house you go into that's old, that has a dark history. And, you know, every other group and their mom has been there, and it's I don't know, dude. It just really wouldn't do a whole lot for me. I mean, doesn't excite me that much.
Not fair enough. Now, the way I'm looking at it, right, is you got places like that. You got places like the Vasilica Axe Murder House where a family were pretty much stopped in the prime by a man who killed a load of them with an axe, right? If you had that happen now, right, in 2009, a man goes into a house, kills two parents and two neighbor children, right, and he kills the full family, right, axe to the face. They don't find them, right, and then Zach Bagans goes in there tomorrow, right, and it happened 3 years ago. He goes in tomorrow and starts investigating the place, right. I think that was absolutely disgusting. To be fair, I'd hope his show got cancelled. I think it'd be too raw. It's disgusting, it's terrible. The poor family still have to live and survive with what's gone on. And, you know, it's terrible. But the fact that the Vasilica Axe Murder House happened so long ago, it's like, in the paranormal field, it's like, it's not that it's okay, but, you know, it's because it's historic and because it happened so long ago. You don't get frowned upon when you go investigating places like that. We're going to a place next week, and the place we're going to is an old lunatic asylum. They used to do electroshock therapy. The lobotomized people, apparently there was so much that did happen there. People died there, obviously. It's a circle of life. People die in most places. But you look at it and all this has gone on. If this hospital had shut down 7 or 8 months ago, we'd have gone investigating it. or the asylum that shut down 7-8 months ago, we investigate it now, we'd probably get frowned upon because it's such a long time ago. You sort of get like, it's not as bad a taboo. And again, another but when you look at certain places where you can contrast how bad something happened, like, for instance, Auschwitz, then yet you start to notice maybe the paranormal does have a line you don't cross, effectively. And just to give you an idea, and this is, I'm going to actually read this off this thing I've got in front of me called paper. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to read this out, okay, kid? Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, dude.
Cool. Right, in Auschwitz, right, there was three sectors of the camp, right? There was Auschwitz 1, which was just called Auschwitz 1. There was Auschwitz 2, Birkenau, which Birkenau was known as the extermination camp. There was Auschwitz 3, which is known as Monowitz, which was the labour camp, right? 1.1 million people died there, right? There's also some unconfirmed claims between 2.1 and 2.5 million people died there, right? As an idea of scale, if I say 1 million people or 1.5 million, like, that's terrible. Now, bear in mind, you're one person. Your family, collectively, of all the family members you know, you've probably got 20, right? That's 20 people. So, say, for instance, 5 families is 100, 50 families is 1,000, 500 families is 10,000. You're wiping hundreds of thousands of family lines off the planet. The way they've done it mercilessly, and it's scary to think, right? Out of those people that were killed, right, the 1 out of 6 Jews that were killed in the Holocaust died at the camp. There was 150,000 Polish people who died there, 23,000 Romani, 15,000 Russian prisoners of war, 400 Jews and Jehovah's Witnesses, 144 prisoners managed to survive. Not survive, but escape successfully. They got away. Which I, in my eyes, right, high five yourselves, guys. You've got away from their fucking hell. You know, if you haven't got a sainthood, you deserve a sainthood to be able to get away from a place like that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's looking at the place and looking at the fact that people were walking into gas chambers and they were literally taken off the planet. It's nobody had that right to do it. Now, we look, as investigators, we look for places where we'd expect it to be paranormal. We look at places where people died, and where people died prematurely or died in wrongful circumstances, which is, as investigators, that's what we do. That's the way it's always been. Now, I found a blog on Paranormal Blogspot, or the paranormalblogging.blogspot.com, which I love looking at the blogspot because a lot of people will put their opinions down there, and a lot of paranormal investigators do document things through Blogspot. Now, this guy, he wrote a story or a small piece, if you don't mind, I'm going to read it out, Kurt. It's Auschwitz, the most haunted location in the world. In this year, I visited Auschwitz, which was 2012. It was a concentration camp in Poland. It was the worst one of them. Auschwitz was used during the Second World War. The Nazis murdered about 1.1 million people there. We went first to Auschwitz 1, the concentration camp and work camp. There we visited the museum and we saw all the shoes, hairbrushes and clothes. For people who haven't seen, by the way, the shoes, it's a room which is probably about 15 metres long by about 10 metres deep, and it's just a glass partition slap bang in the middle of the room. And the shoes are about 5 foot deep of shoes, just shoes, right? There is piles of spectacles, there's piles of glasses just in the middle of this room. There's piles of dentures, there's piles of hairbrushes, there's clothes, there's rooms just full of stuff. It's just, as a place goes, I said to Natalie last night when I was speaking to her about it, I want to go. I really, really want to go. Me and Aaron talked about doing this tour. We were going to do it this year. We were going to go, Aaron's my lead investigator to the group, by the way. We were going to go to Auschwitz, we were going to go to Chernobyl, we were going to go to Belsen. We were going to try and do it all in 4 days. And just go on this mad trip, get as much done as possible, as much documented as possible, and walk away. And it's unfeasible for us to plan anything like that. We've got kids. We can't just up and leave. We'd never do it. We've got family commitments to keep on side. But in an ideal world, it'd be something we'd love to do. And as doing the research has gone along, I'm sort of 50-50 on whether I'd ever like to... I want to go there. But I'd never go there with a paranormal thought in my mind. I couldn't. I'd owe these people more respect than that. And it's, you know, not respect because we go to places when we go investigating with people. I mean, everyone goes investigating in the paranormal. They go to a place where somebody's died. I'm not saying they don't deserve the equal amount of respect, but it's more personal with them. You can sit there and you can talk, and you've got a person you can talk to. Auschwitz, you've got people who walked into chambers and gas. Joseph Mengele, a fucking horrible bastard. Things he done. You know, he doesn't deserve a place in the history book. He should never, ever have his name. He should be expunged from existence, that rat. But you can't. It's, you know, it's to prove to people how bad people were. Joseph Mengele, by the way, for people who don't know, he was responsible for removing babies out of women and putting them in men to see if the baby had survived inside the man. He was a horrible individual. He removed...
Yeah, he escaped too, man. He escaped to... I think it was Argentina. He escaped to Argentina, actually, after the war, I think.
I would love nothing more than to spend an hour in a room with that fucking rat of a man. I don't care if he's 90 years of age and sitting there rattling. I wouldn't care. I'd love to spend some time with him. Like, I'd walk out on my own. I'd probably pull part of him with me and say, look what I've done. There you go. And I'm not a Jew. I just think that what the hell he done. He hasn't got a place in existence for what he done. It was disgusting. But nevertheless, that's not what the topic is about. The way the topic goes is you could never go into a place like that. I would feel guilty taking a voice recorder into the place. There's certain places I'd never like to walk into with that. And I mean, Auschwitz is one of them. But in saying that, being tuned to the paranormal, if you did walk into there and you did feel something, you couldn't ignore it.
Yeah. To tie into what you're saying is we have... In Washington, D.C., we have the Holocaust Museum. And it's like a tearjerker. And they start you on the top floor, and you work your way down, and they got the real trains they were in, and the hair, and the shoes, and, I mean, the real deal is there. And you got to buy a ticket to get in, and it takes about 2 hours to get through, but it's not quite Auschwitz. But I have to say, it's the same thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
They're taking the shoes that were there or from Birkenau or other places like that.
Yeah.
Dude, it'll blow your fucking mind.
I've got a coin. I bought my dad a coin. This is going to sound really, really bad, right? But bear with me on this one, right? My dad's got a Nazi coin. I bought him a Nazi coin from World War II. I got him maybe 2 years ago. There's a war memorabilia shop in Britain. It's in our town centre. And the guy's got kamikaze swords. He's got all kinds. And this guy, I walked in, spotted this coin. My dad's into World War II. He's into World War II for the right reasons. He's into World War II because it was a fight we had to be involved in. We couldn't walk away.
Oh, yeah.
You don't turn your back on a brother. Now,
no.
My dad, he's fascinated by the war. So I bought him this coin. And do you know what he's done with it, right? I actually agree with him, right? My dad put it in the box and just shut the box. He said, thank you very much. It's a thoughtful gift. And he shut the box. And I always wondered why he'd done it. And it was only, I asked him a couple of months ago, I mean, what happened with that coin, Dad? He went, it's in a box upstairs. Well, why don't you put it out on display? He went, well, I like that I've got it. It means a lot to me that you've sourced it for me or that you've got me. I can see the historical factor to it, but I don't want that to be out on display. It's the same as Hitler having a grave. If Hitler had a grave, people would see it as a shrine. If you had a coin like that, then it's pretty much saying, well, look what else I've got. My dad never, ever liked that type of thing. It's a haunting thing to have, knowing that that's passed through Nazi's hands, knowing that that may be passed through the hands of somebody who, you know, done something bad, effectively.
Oh, yeah.
And I totally understand why he done it, and it was a bit naive of me to have bought him in the first place, but maybe next time I'll just buy him a book.
From a history geek too, it's a piece of memorabilia. It's a piece of memorabilia. I mean, that's all it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't mean that, you know, it's a coin that would have been, you could be used by any German. You know,
it wasn't
necessarily somebody from the SS that used it. You know, it was a special SS coin, but you know, anybody could have used it, but it did represent something that was definitely not good. It was not a good time period. It was not good at that. But something recently happened in the paranormal world, I'd say about two years ago maybe. We had that incident, Sandy Hook Elementary School, where that fucking psycho went in and killed, 31 children? And
Yeah.
some prick in the paranormal world who shares the same name with me, and no, I was not the person that said this, that we should go investigate the place right away just due to the fact that it could bring solace to the parents. He got ostracized so hard. I was just going, dude, you just fucking screwed the pooch. Because it just blew my mind that somebody would have the gall to fucking do something like that. I mean, and that pissed me off. I mean, to no end, that he'd bring up something like that, which ties into what we're saying, is in, you know, anything recent and something that disgusting to go out and want to investigate it is bullshit.
Yeah, it's scary. People will talk about, and you know what? The worst part is a lot of it is fame, right? You've got, like, here's one for you, right? People investigate Prevalier Island, right? I understand people investigating Prevalier Island. I'd love to go there, yeah? Now, Prevalier Island is along the same, it's along the same line. Prevalier Island is an island where people were sent to die. Effectively, they were sent there to just die. Now, if that had happened 5 years ago, you would be the worst person in the world if you tried to do it. You tried to go there and investigate something that happened a few years ago. You might as well hand all your equipment over to somebody else who's going to be able to use it, because you'll be fucking blanked off the planet. And I'd understand that. But obviously, a few years of, you know, time between it happening and you going there is enough to make it slightly more acceptable, we'll call it. So I sort of
look who went there. Zach Bagans went there. Even Massimo Rossi went there. He was telling us that that wasn't even the main islands where they went. There were like two other islands, and I forget their names. I'm sorry.
I'm on your side. I forgot the names too. But he said there was a couple of them, didn't he? That there used to be. There's a couple of islands that are off the coast. But again, I mean, it's the same with Auschwitz. Now, Auschwitz is still relatively new, what happened there. And I mean, every paranormal investigator has that one place they'd love to go. And if I had a penny for every time I've heard somebody say something really, not risky, but, you know, it'd be like, that'd be the place I'd go. And you think, oh, you've got to be careful. You couldn't do it. Some places you need to obviously, you know, how can I put it? Leading with your head and your heart are two different things, especially even in the paranormal. You know, investigating or thinking of a place with your head, you go, right, okay, I'd like to go there because it'll get a lot of evidence. Or thinking with your heart and thinking, well, maybe it would be a bad idea going to that place because of this only happened a few years ago or something like that. They're still surviving. There's still people who survived from the Holocaust who are alive today. Not the Holocaust, the Auschwitz who survived and they're still going, they're still around today. So, where that's concerned, you'd think you'd owe them a little bit more than we'd, well, we obviously, hard to say. No matter what you say, you sort of trip yourself up on in a situation like this, but I would never like to, I'd feel like I was doing them an injustice if I ever went to investigate a place like that. Me and Adam had this conversation last year. We said, yeah, we'll do it. I'd love to do a sneak voice recording and all that. And again, it's bad. It was a bad decision to make. It would be a decision I wouldn't, if you get me. But nevertheless, I'm going to keep moving because I've only gone a few paragraphs in and then gone on a wild tangent as usual. But anyway, back to the blog spots. We visited one of the gas chambers. It was the only one that was still there. And actually, it was dark and small, and it's possible to sense the despair that was one of those places. Many people have reported the weird noises in the gas chamber, and people have also captured pictures and videos of strange figures in the gas chamber. Also, some of them have noticed cold moving spots in the air, and some of the visitors have been touched by invisible hands. I didn't notice anything unusual in the gas chamber, and I'm looking at a picture of the gas chamber. It is literally like, looks like a car park cellar. It's just like a square room, nothing special. It's just a, well, I say nothing special, it's just a square room which has got, obviously got gas vent in there. The next picture is the furnaces. There's a picture of the four furnaces. It's fenced off by one of those little normal fences. And for some reason, it's single door furnaces. There's four of them in a row. And it says underneath that, they have filled this place with the flowers and the candles for the memory of those people. And there's also a small shop where you can buy candles and place them on one of the walls. I took some seeds with me and threw them onto the grass, because apparently flowers help spirits calm down, is what they say. After that, we went to the barrack number 13, which was the worst barracks in Auschwitz. They would execute people by killing them with hunger. And it was also the first place where they tested Zyklon B. They killed thousands of humans in that barracks, or in the cellar, actually. When we went down the stairs, I finally noticed something. It was cold, just like in haunted places. I started to hear weird noises from my headphones. It was like screaming, but not very loud. Everyone else noticed it too. When I turned my headphones off, it ended. I could also sense the despair again. Some people unexpectedly started to cry. It was a small room with a large candle. It was to respect the memory of a man who got asked to get killed instead of a man who had a family. The man he saved by his death survived from Auschwitz alive. Right after we went to Auschwitz, to Birkenau extermination camp, there they killed most of the 1.1 million people. If you went to Auschwitz, you had to. If you went to Auschwitz 1, you had a chance to stay alive. If you went to Auschwitz 2, Birkenau, you had no chance. They killed people right when they arrived. We walked beside the railroad tracks to the ruins of the gas chambers number 4 and 5. You could see the place in your mind. I could tell you where the door was to the gas chamber 4, all those things, just like I'd remember. Then I almost started to cry. The despair was still there. I couldn't help it. I bit my lip not to cry. Then we walked to the barracks. They were small, cold, wooden barracks with small beds in them. If you search, you can find many videos about the spirits in these barracks. I got one picture of something paranormal. There were barracks in the two sides of the railroad tracks, and the other side were not open to tourists and visitors, but you could clearly see a man in one of the barracks. I took a picture of it with my Zoom. It looks like he's wearing a white stringed hat of an Auschwitz prisoner. Maybe I captured the famous spirit of Auschwitz. I'm sorry about the bad resolution. Also see orbs around the figure, blah, blah, blah. Apparently he's picked something up in the door. But people underneath, also, a lot of people, they had opinions on it, on his blog anyway. Someone put a nice picture, the last one gave him the chill. Someone else put, this is amazing, I would love to visit this place. The emotional energy might be more intense than anywhere else on the entire planet. what is it? Very good, I would love to go there and see. I'd love to go there to see where so many gypsies were murdered by those evil bastards. May their souls rot in hell. I visited Treblinka, Majdanek, Auschwitz and Birkenau back in 2006 whilst on a history class trip. I took part in the March of the Living. My class was the only Finnish one and one of the few that weren't Jewish. And let's just say the experience is something I will never forget. Our guide at Auschwitz suffered the entire class of 20 people. We stuffed the entire class of 20 people inside a very small pitch black room that was cold and extremely damp. It was apparently used to drive prisoners insane from claustrophobia. And it was so cramped that they had no room to sit. In the constant darkness, cold and dampness would have contributed to it. Since we were there for only 15 to 20 minutes, they didn't mind at all, but prisoners were forced to stay there for days on end. As for paranormal experiences, I had none at any of the camps. I actually have some psychic powers. I was able to send spirits at our cottage until they disappeared, and they would never alerted me to anything. And the last thing that was there is by a guy called Tani Fred. Do you know the way they're all people from places like Sweden have got like one of those weird surnames?
Yeah,
guys,
yeah.
Or the girls. Tani Fredegioff, right? The man who offered his life for the family man was named Maximilian Kolbe and was a Catholic Franciscan priest. He led his starvation bunker in singing songs together, which the guard reported after the liberation. Kolbe is now a Roman Catholic saint, and my mother has a relic of him, a piece of his rope belt. He was a good and selfless man. And you know what? It's stories like that. When you hear of something as bad as what happened at Auschwitz, when you hear the story like that, and you hear the person who would put himself before fellow brother, that is enough to say that even through the shit, roses still grew. You know? Good things still came from bad situations. And that's why everybody will say, we'll all say, like people go, oh, I'd love to go and investigate where the Hindenburg went down. And I thought this when we were doing the show. I thought, oh, I wonder about the Hindenburg. And then you realise, okay, that was a perilous death for a lot of people. And it's sort of like you're dishonoring a memory if you could go in there with your voice recorders and screaming, because what could I possibly offer 1.1 million people as a paranormal investigator? What solace? How do I get them to heaven if being a paranormal investigator offers me an option of bringing a priest in and saying, listen, come on, open the door, let them go. Right? How could I do that for 1.1 million people? What can I do for them? There's nothing I can do for them. So I would never, in a sense, dishonor them for that. MC Paranormal has put that they want to go to Highgate Cemetery. I think Mickey Go Cool done Highgate, didn't he?
Yeah, Mickey did.
Mickey done Highgate, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's a little different, though, the Highgate Cemetery. I mean, we're talking about, like, apples and oranges, I guess. You know what I'm talking about? When you're talking
about,
you know. I mean, it's just an old cemetery. It's one of the, what, the seven golden or seven triangle cemeteries or whatever the fuck they're called in London.
Yes.
There's like seven of them or something like that.
Not 100% on it. I know what you're talking about, but I don't know the exact law behind it. That's the only thing. So
yeah, you're not allowed to go you're not allowed to go in and do an experiment. I can't even talk right now. I'm so sorry.
Oh, you can't
go in there and to do an investigation. No, they do offer tours, but that's basically about it.
This is more for this side of the water. We had this thing happen. I think I sent you a link to it yesterday. It was in World War II. There was a school and a technician's college, we'll call it, right? And it is literally a mile and a half away from where I live, right? What happened in World War II was when the German soldiers, the German planes came over, Liverpool got bombed to shit. We got the shit beaten out of us, right? Churchill eventually came to Liverpool over what happened and said it was the single most worst act of loss on Allied soil in the entire World War II. And what happened was German soldiers coming over, because of the amount of weight that the bombs were creating for them, what they decided to do, unload the bombs. They drop any surplus bombs. On the way back from the bombing raid, they drop them. One of them, unfortunately,
so they can make it back to their wherever they're landing.
Exactly, yeah. One of them, the bombs, unfortunately, fell onto this technological technician college, right? The cellar of the college used to be used as it was used as a air raid shelter. There's 168 people in there, right? The 168 people that were in there was a newborn baby. There was a woman who was in labor, right? The bomb hit the school.
Ooh.
They were in the cellar. It gets worse. They were in the cellar. As the bomb hit the school, the rubble fell in on the cellar. The people who survived or were trapped in the rubble then had to deal with the fact that above them, a boiler burst. Boiling water came down, and the people who did not survive, the blast, got boiled. It gets worse. When one of the soldiers or one of the home fronts tried to pull somebody out by the belt, because of the heat, the leather fell to bits. Because of the heat, obviously the fire, the water, and everything that had gone on, right? 168 people died, yeah? The newborn baby survived. That's fucking immense. You know what's even better? I shit you not. 100% shit you not. My nan was 5 years of... she wasn't 5 years of age. She was 2 years of age at the time. Her sister was 5 years of age. And they were on the way to their air raid shelter when my great-grandmother decided against it and said, no, we'll go to the other one down the road because Dernan Road is always full. They jumped off the bus or the tram outside Dernan Road, decided against it, and ran down to a further one, a little bit further down. They managed to make it to there. They stayed there till the next day. They came out and seen all the smoke coming from Dernan Road.
Okay.
So
let me ask you this question, though. Would you investigate that? Would you investigate that?
Put it this way, right? It's not really known by many people in Liverpool anymore. It's sort of been forgotten. But they don't build houses on the grounds where it happened. No houses have been built there. They've built a little bit of a garden, and that's about it. Would I investigate it? Not in a month of Sundays. I would never investigate it. I would frown upon anybody who did, because the loss of life, the families are still alive of the people who were there.
Okay.
So I wouldn't. And don't get me wrong, in an ideal world, you know, I'd like to say, yeah, there's something we could offer them, but there isn't anything we could offer them. I can tell you that they've done something called quick. When it happened, they poured quicklime a couple of days later. And what quicklime done was, it sort of sealed the area, and then they just cemented over them. They can't pull all the bodies out. As far as I'm aware, they're still there. They're still in our town centre. The department store said the same.
Yeah.
They just quicklime over them. Sorry.
Well, I want to read this one you sent me, though, dude. This one's, like, intense. It's called
Go
Unit 731 Experimentation Care. It has
Go
been referred to as the Asian Auschwitz. Its walls saw the brutal deaths of around 10,000 men, women, and children. The site was built by the Imperial Japanese government in Harbin, Manchuria, China, and was used by them to perform medical experiments on living test subjects, mostly Chinese descent. Vivisections would occur on humans without the use of anesthesia. Jesus Christ, I can't even talk. Without anesthesia, doctors at the camp would sever the limbs of the live victims to study blood loss, and then the limbs were often reattached, but on the wrong side of the body. Prisoners Prisoners were also purposely infected with the plague, cholera, smallpox, botulism, and other horrific diseases to study the effects. People were also subject to the extreme temperatures to see how long it took a human to die of frostbite. Other horrors also occurred at the facility that are too gruesome to discuss here. After the war, some parts of the complex were lost to time, but other parts still remain standing. A total of 150 buildings remain, but only one of these is open to the public. There are also many open areas on the site that were used to test bombs at close range on living subjects. People were only recently allowed to visit the site, and since its opening as a learning center for future generations of China, and a lot of other paranormal activity has been reported. Many report mysterious lights in the courtyard. Others claim to see ghostly figures walking around the buildings. The most infamous ghost of the site is a figure of a man that strolls the area around frostbite building. Some claim they have, when visiting the site, they have overwhelmed with the paranormal activity, and they claim there must be thousands of ghosts who are permanent residents of this horrific location. Now, hearing that there has been, people have witnessed it, people have seen it, and the horrid stuff that was done to them, such as, you know, putting two arms on the same side, I guess it would be, would you investigate that?
Do you know what? I'd be nervous too. To be fair, I'd be very uncomfortable if it did. You understand what I mean? Do you know what? It sounds like I'm contradicting myself, because we investigate places that have seen murder quite a lot. It's something that most paranormal investigation groups do. But I don't know if it's maybe that some of them are just a bit too much, a bit too taboo, a bit too, you know, a bit too bad, effectively. But do you know what?
But the thing about it is, well, what's the difference then of going to the Lizzie Borden house and then going to the Axe Murder house and investigating both of those? You know, that was fairly recent, the Lizzie Borden incident. And the Axe Murder house was fairly recent, you know, I mean, comparing time between, you know, across the pond. Well, we're talking, you know, you're talking 500-600 years ago. And, it's fairly recent for us. I mean, is there any difference between that? I'm just asking you, honestly, I don't know if there is, you know?
Well, not really. Do you know, it's a weird one for you, this, because I've had an opportunity to look at a premises where a woman was murdered at an ashtray in 1920. Right, 1920 is what, 95 years ago?
Okay.
Right, she's still got family members on the planet, so I'm a bit concerned. To be fair, they actually done a film about what happened to her. So I'm a bit 50-50 on whether we should or shouldn't. And I keep saying this to my team or to our guys. I'm a bit concerned about doing it. And they don't...
Well, what's holding you back? What happened to the lady, if you can say?
Nobody knows. I think they called it Britain's only perfect crime, because the guy who was apparently the one who'd done it, he got the guilty vote. No sooner did he get the guilty vote that the judge overruled the entire jury and said, no, you're wrong, what the hell's up with you guys? And he overruled their verdict, so they don't know who actually done it. And the only reason that it's so gritty for me is because there's a family who lived there, and one of them's a young girl. She's only a child. And she plays on the floor with the toys in the same place where the lady took an ashtray to the back of the head and died. So I sort of am a bit concerned about living somewhere like that because, they're still living with family members anyway.
What about these psychics out there that love to attach themselves to police and, go on cold cases and stuff like that? I mean, that bothers me a lot. You know, that these psychics will go out there to try to get their name out there, on cold cases where, let's say, a child disappears or a young lady dies, in the 20s and stuff like that. I see an issue. I have an issue with that. That's just me, but I have a total issue with that.
It seems a little bit pedantic for me to say, that maybe certain investigations shouldn't happen, yada, yada, yada. Maybe we shouldn't look at certain places because, there is a taboo. Obviously, there's a taboo in certain places. Most places, people will struggle to investigate if they knew the full story behind it. But I think it's how you go into an investigation or how you look at the investigation you're about to go into. I assume that's the best way of trying to decide whether or whether or not you're doing something maybe a bit wrong. I mean, we're going to the place we're going to next week. I'm not going to mention any names because of how we're going to go through with it. But let me just reword it. I don't want to give security the heads up that we're coming. But
Brick and ladder. Okay, keep going.
Indeed. Now, I don't want to be able to put myself into a situation where my team are fully aware when they get there that certain places we're going to the morgue, for instance, and they're like, right, we need to go to the morgue. And I've sat there for 10 minutes with one of our team members and said, well, why are we going to the morgue? What happened in the morgue? Nothing.
Yeah, I saw that picture. No. Yeah, I saw that one picture. I'm not going to say who it was of, but yeah, I did see that one picture you had, yeah.
Good. But yeah, as I said, I've got to be a bit more questionable towards the way I do things now because, obviously, the show that we're doing now, and because of the amount of thought I've put into this type of situation, I'm a bit more concerned. I question slightly more whether we should do certain
ethical
places or whether...
ethics and stuff?
Yeah, I've grew a fucking heart. It's weird. Oh, that
Are you
came
sure you
from,
didn't
like,
grow a vagina, dude?
Yeah, the conscience. The fuck did that come from? Snuck up upon me that shit, didn't it? Maybe the conscience of me. But, realistically, though, I know it sounds... I'm going off on a bit of a tangent with it, but I don't know. It's my opinion is I'm a bit concerned on certain places nowadays.
No, it's respect, dude. I mean, thinking about it, honestly, taking your side on it, dude, honestly, it's respect. I mean, when it comes down to it. I mean, there's no... I have to agree with you 100%. I mean, it really comes down to respect. It also depends on how you go about doing it. There's certain ways of going to doing it. Not like I'm going into Lent Mansion and I'm going to put a certain thing on a certain weapon on a thing and sit there and start to mock the person who just blew his head off. Yeah, that probably wasn't my smoothest move, but, I figured I could draw out something by doing that. And you know what I'm talking about when I talked about that. That wasn't the smoothest move. But at the same time, though, since the way it was done, I felt nothing when I was doing it. I felt not a thing. I only felt bad for the dog that got killed. Didn't care about the guy because it ran in the family. Fuck it, ran in the family. So I really had absolutely no. no feelings whatsoever, but the trigger object was had to go down as one of the funniest fucking things ever. But
yeah.
I'm surprised we wouldn't have been kicked out of the hotel real quick, or the bed and breakfast real fast if they saw that. Yeah, it was interesting. Nobody was going to break in our room that night. But that's, you know. But going back to what you were saying, I mean, Chernobyl, nah. Dude, Chernobyl's one of those things, dude. If you could get there and do it. You know, just to say you've done it. Because look how many people have done it. You know, I mean, everything from Ghost Adventures to Taps to fucking Josh Gates to, you know, everybody's gone ahead. All these big guys have gone ahead and done it. Why not? Suicide Force. Now, see, I do it. I do the Suicide Force, but with respect. You know,
yeah,
I wouldn't go out there provoking. I wouldn't go out provoking, but I'd go out there investigating with respect.
There's a theory I've had as of late. I've been more... You watch Ghost Adventures and Zach Bagan goes in and he starts to really, you know... He calls people out and he provokes, right? And do you know what? I'm starting to notice maybe a little bit more respect when you go into an investigation might get you a better result. If you did decide that you were going to go and do Auschwitz and you went in with the utmost respect, maybe it wouldn't be as bad. I don't know. I'm a bit 50-50. It's new territory to me of the, you know, going to do certain places where you need to have a little bit more tact behind what you do or be a little bit more tasteful about how you do it. But as for provoking, I've never done it. I could never provoke because, one, I'm not very good at arguing. I'm crap at it. I'd just be like, you know, get on you being a ghost. I'd be fucking useless. So I'd never try, to be fair. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I'm not the only person in my team who would probably do it. I mean, no.
I could give you a couple.
Yeah, fucking hell. I know two of my team members would probably try and headbutt the thing if I'd seen it, but I've got to be a bit careful.
You'd have to be the voice of reason, dude. I could see one other person being a voice of reason in there with you.
I can't. Believe me.
No.
Two ex-security guards and one ex-military. You fucking mental. What the hell could they do to prevent something? They cause shit before they prevent it. Crazy bastard.
Well,
but,
I
love them for it.
Oh, I can just picture them. I would fucking lose my shit. You just hear me laughing in the background, like cackling. Just for the hell of it, because of what's being said.
I don't know how many times on investigation I've had to hold my head, literally put my hand on my forehead and go, really? Shit. That's going to cause problems.
Or it must be even better, though, when you go listen back to it on the recorder or something, and then you hear it again, and you're like, oh, fuck.
My video project, I wanted to start my video project last year, right? Beginning of last year. I couldn't start my video project at the beginning of last year for one reason and one reason only. It was too much swearing. I couldn't have put it on Facebook or YouTube. Sorry, I couldn't have put it on YouTube. I'll get myself in trouble. It was so much swearing. I was like, that's not funny.
See, that would be my problem, dude. I'd be the one swearing. You know, I'd be the one to be kicked out for swearing or something like that. I don't know, man.
He was more,
I love
more
to swear when I provoke.
It was a rap song that was bad. It was horrendous. But, no, we love them.
Oh.
We'll do a job, you know.
Oh, dude, I go out there when I provoke. I just fucking insult, dude. Any insult I can think of, you know. I'm not going to say anything here, what I say, but, yeah, there's a lot of F-bombs. There's a lot of this. There's a lot of that. You're a Blaggett. Rhyme Blaggett with something. And, you know, what are you going to do about it? You got nothing. And this is at a battlefield. It's a war battlefield.
There's one way of doing it. Right, I'm going to move.
Oh,
right?
And then
we can't move. Sorry. I was about to say, we can't move on to the last one that we were going to move on to because we are literally 7 minutes from the end of the show. We've babbled too much. At least I've gone on too much of a wild tangent.
Actually, it turned out, you know, thinking about it, I mean, we hit what we needed to hit. I mean, we're talking about ethics, when you're out there investigating. Yeah. I mean, there's a little kid. Okay, let me give you an example. There's a little child, a four-year-old boy, about 8 months ago that drowned in a pond about a quarter mile from my house. They're putting new buildings in, mm-hmm. and they have like a water pond that, you know, that all the runoff yeah. water goes, and this poor kid drowns. And I'm thinking to myself, and I had this thought, I was like, you know, I should go out there and just, you know, see if I can get some EVPs and, you know, get some pictures. And then I thought to myself, I go, that's too fucked up. I go, I can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought to myself, I go, uh-uh. I go, I can't do it. I just can't fucking do it. You know, and it the whole ethic thing just kind of gave me a kick to the nuts real quick, and I'm not going to do it. I refuse to, you know, just because of that.
You feel bad, don't you, because you don't know whether in a situation like that, whether you're going to rock too many boats. I understand. Well, I don't know. It'll
yeah,
catch up to us.
It depends. I mean, it depends because, I don't know. The only reason they sit there and try to draw people out on all these shows, and you see it even on YouTube, some of these groups that, you know, they're trying to draw people out by, you know, super, you know, you faggot, you know, once you do this, blah, 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 blah,
yeah.
blah. You know, that you get that. You even get that on TV. But they kind of like, they blank it out and they say something else. But, you know, and then it becomes demonic all of a sudden, you know. I guess if you call a ghost, or you call a person who passed away at 35, 40 years ago, hung themselves, you call them that, they become demonic all of a sudden. Then you get the three scratches of the Trinity, which, you know, which I'll call bullshit.
Ah, well, it probably happens. Why not? Why not? Listen, just before we go, I've got to drag it out, right? We've actually got a bit of news over Britain side, which you guys have graciously sent over to us. You will love this, Kurt. I swear to God, you will love this, right? Guess who's made an appearance in Britain?
Who?
He's slender. He's a very slender guy.
Is he a
slender
ginger?
Man. No, yes, indeed. Slender man. Four sightings of a spooky 8-foot spectre sparks UK paranormal investigations. Lately, slender men have been reported by terrified Brits. They have been part of a global folklore for centuries, with an elongated appearance remaining the same around the world. The paranormal probe has gone to the Midlands following four sightings of Slendermen. Right. Uh-oh. Alarm bells have just started ringing. I know we've only got 4 minutes in the show, but nevertheless, my very, very, very good / dickhead friend, he's no friend of mine, I'm being sarcastic, Lee Brickley. Right. Lee Brickley is the man who's going to be looking into it. One theory is that it has nothing to do with the supernatural, and eyewitnesses experiencing sleep paralysis where the individual's eyes are open but they're still in a state of sleep and therefore unable to move. There's a second reason for sleep paralysis. There are reports of Slenderman seemingly pinning victims down as they're sitting on their chest. Residents of Cannock Chase, everything that's happening in Britain at the moment seems to be happening in Cannock Chase. So guess what? Slenderman's back. When I say back, Slenderman here.
Hanging out in Chippies or something?
Yeah, he's chilling over these sides. I don't know why he came over. And you know what? More to the point, I don't know how customs didn't. Maybe so. I don't know how he didn't notice him turning up, to be fair. Like, you know, he's a fucking slender man. If he's here, you'll see him. If he gets on a plane, you'll notice him. He's like 8 foot fucking tall.
He'll always be hanging around on a playground or something. You always see Slender Man hanging around the playground. So,
yeah.
Anybody on your side of the pond, go looking around a playground and see about a 7 foot giant just walking around, creeping everyone out, no face.
Giant ginger. Exactly what we need.
Oh, he's a giant ginger, dude. Even worse, dude.
The
that he's a
ginger.
Ginger.
Yeah, he's a fucking American ginger. Is the worst part about it. But, nevertheless, I don't know. I'm starting to read our newspapers, and the more I read into it, I actually, when I seen that, I thought, you know what? British tabloids, they haven't dropped the ball, right? They deflated and threw it over the fucking fence like idiots. How stupid a crew of people do we have in our British media?
It hadn't been two people like us talking and somebody over listening and said, hey, let's create Slender Man over here.
Slender Man's back quick, everybody. Like, oh, fuck off.
It's Slender Man. Fucking retard,
oh, God.
I swear to God. From
oh,
one
God,
retarded over one retarded funny. Continent over to another retarded island, sorry. But no offense to you guys.
No, none fucking taken. It's stupid nevertheless over this side of the water, but nah, I don't know. Well, anyway, we are coming to the end of the show. We've got 1 minute left before we have to disappear off air because of my glorious fuck-up, which, you know, may or may not have been my fault. May or may not actually was definitely my fault. So,
probably my fuck-up,
yeah.
But I just pass it on to you and make it look good.
185,000,000% my fuck-up, but I'll let you take the blame nevertheless because I'm a bastard like that. But,
I'm so used to taking, yeah, I'm so used to taking heat for that. Fair enough.
Right, well, anyway, I'm going to call it a day. And to everybody listening in the chat room, thank you very much, guys. Thanks for showing up. And for those people who wondered why I didn't... Oh, with MC Paranormal, I think that was a hoax, truth to be told, lol. Oh, God. Black Eyed Children were there as well, yeah. I'm 100% on that one, sadly. But, yeah, anyway, guys, right, listen, I'm going to call it a day, and I'm going to catch up with you next week, same as Kurt. We'll both be here, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed at the same time. So, okay?
Same time, same place.
See you there. Take it easy, guys. Bye.
Take it easy, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.